Revelation chapter 2, as the young people are heading out, Revelation chapter 2. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5. The text says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Amen. Look at your neighbor, give them a hug as you get ready to take your seat. Tell them welcome. Look at them. Just tell them good morning. It's so good to have you in the house this morning. Give them some love. Hug them. Let them know. Let them know that they are welcome here this morning. Amen. Again to you. I want to say welcome to all of you who may be visiting here with us, particularly if it's your first time. February here at Open Door is Love Month. Every day in every month, we should be loving on one another, but in the month of February, it's particularly a month that we like to love on other people and make them feel welcome. How many of you have been taking up the challenge of loving people this month? Did you get your cards and your calendars last year? Have you been taking advantage of that and finding the opportunity to love on some people during the week? Anybody, do I got any hands? Are y'all going to be honest? You should be taking the cards and being loving this month, and we want to make sure that we're encouraging you to do that. Valentine's Day is coming up this coming Friday. And love is in the air. And just in case you forgot about that, my brothers, I got your back. It's Friday, and so you still have some time to get some things if you forgot about it. But I want to speak to you today about something that God has been impressing upon my heart. And it may be difficult to accept, but I know when the Lord tells me to do something, there's a reason to do it. And so with Valentine's Day coming in the air, the Lord has told me to talk to you this morning from the topic of love affairs. Love affairs. Look at your neighbor and say, "Are you having a love affair?" Go on and look at the other one and say, "Are you having a love affair?" Okay. See, I know the Lord wants me to talk about this because all this week I just feel like the enemy has been working on our relationships. And you know, church folk are experts at walking into church acting like everything is okay. But if you could just be a fly on the wall, you would find out that there's more going on than meets the eye. I want to talk to you about love affairs. Y'all know my wife and I have been together now for about 15 years. It's going to be 16 years in June. And I must say, truly, I am a blessed man. I am so blessed to be with my wife. I often tell you, if you are new here to Open Door or you are visiting, I can tell you without doubt that the pastor of Open Door is not trying to holler at you. Go and look at your neighbor and say, the pastor not trying to talk to you. I need to go ahead and say that because, see, I want you to understand. See, you ought to celebrate that. Say, praise God that the pastor's not trying to holler. I want you to know and understand, I love my wife. I love her, I love her, I love her. Not only is my wife beautiful, she's intelligent, she's stylish, she's absolutely fearless. I have seen her do things, and I'm like, baby, how in the world? Ask your niece or whatever you say. I've seen her do stuff absolutely fearless. She has no fear. She is an awesome mom, just phenomenally awesome. I am truly a blessed man for God to have been given her to me. But I got to be honest, she came to me many years ago and told me something that literally rocked me to my core. She came to me and she asked me, she said, honey, do you love me? Now, just how you looking right there, my brother, was the same way how I was looking. I was like, shocked, do I love you? Why would you ask me that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you ask me the question, do I love you? Isn't it obvious? And I told her, I said, well, I married you, didn't I? How many of you know that wasn't the right response? Somebody say, Jesus has brought us alone. I look back at some of the foolishness I did. I just say, thank you, Jesus. But I looked at her and I said, well, isn't it obvious? I mean, you know, I go to work every day. You know, I buy you stuff all the time on your birthday, on your anniversary. You know, I wash your car. You know, I tell you all these nice things all the time. You know, what isn't it obvious? And she looked at me and she said, well, honey, I didn't ask you what you do for me. She said, I asked you if you love me. Now, at that time, I did not understand what it was that she was talking about. But, you know, as you stay married for a while, you learn some things, right? And so I want to share with you some things that I've learned. See, what she was trying to tell me was that there was a problem in our relationship. Something wasn't right. Something was missing. There was a problem that was going on, sort of like the problem that was going on in the text that you just read that Jesus had with the church of Ephesus and him, and I'm going to bet is a problem in many of the relationships in here today. There's a problem. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a problem. When you look in the text, listen, Jesus said, listen, to the church of Ephesus, he said, I know your works. I know the things that you have done. I know all the things that you are doing for me, but that's not really the problem. Listen, they were doing a whole lot of stuff, and they couldn't see that there was a problem going on between the relationship and God because they were so busy. How many know that sometimes when you get busy, it disguises stuff? Jesus was saying, the problem is not so much what you do for me. The problem is the relationship that you have with the person in whom you're doing it for. Watch this. And so they were doing a whole lot of stuff for Jesus, but when they were doing it, their love that they had for him had changed. You know what I found out is that you can do a whole lot of stuff for people, but if the relationship is not right between you, the stuff really that you do really don't matter. Any witnesses in here? Watch this. And that's the problem that I found is going on in many relationships. That's going on even right here today. You're doing a lot of stuff. You're doing everything that you know to do, but something's missing. You go to work every day. You tell her good morning. You help cook. You help clean. You know all the stuff that we do. But something's missing. There's a problem in there. I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like the love that you have between you has started to grow cold. Anybody ever experienced that before? The interactions that you have with your spouse are no longer experiences, they're transactions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And where you used to experience them and just get excited, now they're no longer experiences. It's more transactions. You're starting to do things out of obligation. It's more routine in some of our relationships. You get up and you do the things that you know you need to do, but you're not doing it because you love. You're doing it because out of routine and something is missing. There's a problem. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have that problem? Go and look at your other neighbor and say, you look like that's your problem right there. Listen to me. It's a problem. And the enemy is seeking to destroy the relationships. Now, what is the problem that Jesus says was going on? If you look in your Bible in verse 5, he tells us what the problem is. Listen, if you're experiencing that, something's missing, listen to what Jesus said the problem was. He told Ephesus, the problem is that you have left your first love. Do you see that? Now, I want you to notice that the people were still doing everything that they knew to do. Jesus says, the problem is not what you're doing. He says that the love that you have for me has changed. Listen to what I'm saying. He says that the love that you have for me has changed. Now, listen, I know that some of y'all are looking at me and you're tuning me out because in your mind you say, that's not my problem because I love my spouse or I love my significant other. But I want you to pay very close attention to what Jesus was saying the problem was. He didn't say that the problem was that they didn't love him. Do you hear me? He didn't say the problem was they didn't love him. Listen, I would argue with you that they did love him or they wouldn't have been doing the things that they were doing for him. When you read the first five verses or four verses or whatever, they were doing a whole lot of stuff for him. Listen, and that's what makes the problem in many of our relationships, this problem, so deceptive, because I would argue that most of us would say that we love our significant other. You love them. You have love for them, but that's not really what the problem is. If you look very carefully what the problem was, Jesus says that you have left your first love. Not that you don't love me, but that you have left your first love. What does that mean? That means at one point, I was your first. At one point in the relationship, I was your ace. At one point in the relationship, everything was about me. I was your priority. Everything was about revolving around me. And at some point in the relationship, you changed. Listen. And that's the problem in some of our relationships today. Listen, is that you have changed from loving your significant other as your first love, and they've become your second or your third love. Watch this. They used to be first, but now you've started loving something else. Watch this. Now, I know that's hard for some of you to accept, but let me try to prove it to you. Can I do that for you? Listen. What you love, you enjoy. Would you agree with that? Here's the question. Do you enjoy your significant other? Think about this now. Do you enjoy them? I'm not asking, do you enjoy what they do for you? I'm asking, do you enjoy your significant other? Or do you, when it's time to go home to them, be like, oh, Jesus, I got to go home again. How many of you know that when you love something, you enjoy it? My boys love playing video games. You know what they want to do as soon as we get out of church? They ready to go home and jump on that video game. What you love, you enjoy. What you love, you yearn to spend time with. Question, do you enjoy spending time with your significant other? But amen's going down. I got a lot of people looking at me. Ain't nobody saying amen. Do you love to spend time? Listen, I'm asking you to do what I had to do. Do you enjoy spending time with your significant other? Watch this. In other words, when you get off of work, is the first thing you're thinking of, yes, I get to go home and be with my significant other, or is it? All right, listen, what you love, you spend money on. I would have thought some of the ladies would have said amen on that one. Think about that now. When you really love something, nobody has to push you to do anything. You naturally invest in that. Do you love spending money on your significant other? Okay. All right. What you love, you protect. Okay. Some of you would be out of your mind upset if your car got scratched, but you have no problem with your significant other walking in the rain to the car. Amen. I ain't getting nothing right now. I guess I need to move on. What you love, you protect. What you love essentially is first. Can I say it that way? What you love comes first. That means everything revolves around what you love. When you love something, it doesn't come second or third or fourth priority. Everything revolves around what it is that you love. And the problem that I was running into with my wife, and I know some of y'all jokers in here struggling with as well, is that I had begun to have a love affair with my job. Listen, everything revolved around my job and my career. I spent all my time there. My goals and my objectives, everything was around pleasing my boss, trying to get to the next step, trying to get to the next level. Everything was about that. And when push came to shove, I said that I loved my wife, but if my job needed me, I'm going to do that first. Watch this. And the problem in some of our relationships right now, you just don't see it, is that you have begun to love some other stuff. And your wife or your significant other is picking up on it. For some of us, you begin to love sports too much. Some of you, you've begun to love going to the gym too much. But something has crept in there. Now, listen, you got to figure out what it is. I find it interesting in the text when you look at it. Jesus doesn't spend much time identifying why they left their first love. You see that? When you read the text, he never spent any time explaining why the church had left him as their first love. And I spent all this week trying to figure out, Lord, why in the world did you write all this but didn't tell us why it was that they left in the first place? And I came to the conclusion that the reason why Jesus didn't spend a lot of time trying to explain the why was because there's so many different reasons why people fall out of love. In fact, I went online and I started doing some research to try to figure out why people fall out of love. And I went to eHarmony. Y'all know what eHarmony is? And I went on eHarmony, and I tried to figure out why is it that people fall out of love. And I took the first top 10 that they had on there. It says the first one is because people stop communicating. How many know that when you stop talking, it's easy to fall out of love with somebody? Number two, it says, because people take each other for granted. Listen, if you're starting to do that in your relationship, whether you know it or not, it's starting to die. We get too comfortable with each other. Number three, it says, expectations weren't met. I expected you to do something. I expected you to be there, and you didn't meet my expectations, so therefore I don't love you anymore. Number four, one of them discovered something new about his or her partner. I didn't know that you were doing this. I didn't know this was in your past. I didn't know you used to talk to Bobby. Bobby was my homeboy. They found out something that they didn't know. Number five, overwhelming jealousy took over. Some kind of way jealousy got in there. I'm jealous of your job. I'm jealous of your career. I'm jealous of your friends. And it gets in there. It says number six, the relationship wasn't built on a solid foundation from the beginning. Number seven, incompatibility. Number eight, boredom. Number nine, a major life event that changed things. Or number 10, it wasn't love in the first place. It was lust. Watch this. Now, here's the thing. The real reason I think Jesus didn't go into all of that, because the reason doesn't really matter why, but one of the things that he focuses on is what do you do when that happens? So that's where I want to spend the rest and majority of my time. What do you do when you fall in, when something else has kind of stolen your heart, right? What do you do? Now, look in your text in verse 5. I want you to see the very first thing that Jesus put. Listen to me very carefully, because I know the devil is in here trying to destroy some marriages. He's trying to destroy some relationships right now, okay? Listen to what Jesus says to do. The very first thing is, he says, remember from whence thou art fallen. Do you see that? Say that with me. Remember from where you have fallen. Say it again. Remember. Go ahead, say it again. Okay. Now, say it again slowly. Remember from where. Do you see that? Now I think you got it. He says, remember from, the first thing you do, remember from where you have fallen. Okay, that's important because the big problem that we have in a lot of relationships is that when there's a problem, you can remember where your spouse or significant other has fallen, but you don't pay attention to yourself, right? And the first thing Jesus says, if you want to restore this, is you have to remember from where you are fallen. Now, what does he mean when he says, remember from where you are fallen? Listen, the word remember there means to reflect. It means to ponder. It means to think about it. He says, I want you to remember or to ponder or to think about from where you have fallen. Listen, the word fallen there means to stray. It means to leave from something. Watch this. It means that at one point you were here, but now you're here. On this stage, if I fell off, I started here, and then I fell down to here. Does that make sense? Jesus says, I want you to reflect or to ponder or to think about not where you are. Why is Jesus telling you to look back to where you first started? Huh? The reason why is there's something he wants you to see. Listen, there was something he wanted the church of Ephesus to see. They were here. He says, I want you to reflect back to where you were when you first started. There's something that I want you to see. What is it that he wants you to see? He wants you to see how much you have changed. Look at your neighbor and say, you've changed. Look at me. He wants you to see how much you have changed. Listen, and the distance from where you are when you first started to where you are now is the level and the extent of the change that you've experienced in your relationship. Listen to me. See, some of us have changed so much and you don't even recognize how much you've changed. Can I tell you something? The reason why you have the mess in your relationship right now is because you've changed. The church of Ephesus couldn't realize why the problem was so severe because they couldn't recognize how much they had changed from when they had first fell in love with Jesus in the first place. And Jesus is saying the first thing you have to do to restore that relationship is go back and reflect on where you were when you first fell in love. Let me ask you to do something. How many of you remember when you first fell in love? Anybody remember? Listen, I need you to reflect back to when you first fell in love. Now, listen, I'm telling you, don't focus on what that joker did to you this morning that got you upset. I need you to reflect back on where you was when you first fell in love. Watch this now. Do you remember when you first started holding hands? Anybody remember when you first started holding hands with your significant other? Do you remember when you got that first kiss? I remember I got my first kiss. Listen, do you remember you got that first hug? I remember I held my wife for the first time, and I almost passed out on her because I just said, oh, my gosh, and she gave me that kiss, and I just knew that I was in heaven. Do you remember that when you were first in love, that all you used to want to do was just call and talk to her on the phone? And you would talk on the phone for hours? Do you remember, listen to me. Do you remember when you first fell in love that money was no object? Do you remember when you first fell in love that you would just call and talk to the person for no reason at all? Do you remember when you first fell in love that you paid attention to all the details? You remember what they had on When I first met my wife, I remembered every outfit she used to wear. I used to pay attention to everything. If her hair changed, if anything changed, if she had on shorts, if she had on jeans, I paid attention to everything. The question is, how many of you still do that now? I got one. Listen, how many of you still do the same things now? Listen, and the reason why you don't is because you've changed. Watch this. See, instead of desiring to hold her hand, you desire to hold a piece of chicken. You need to stop. You desire to hold the PlayStation joystick. Instead of noticing what she has on, you have begun to notice ESPN and the scoreboard. Listen, and over time, see, sometimes you've changed so much and you don't recognize how much you've changed. And Jesus says one of the first things that you have to do to restore your relationship is don't focus on where you're at now and the problems that you have now. You got to focus back on where it was when you first fell in love the first time. Why is that? Listen, because as long as you keep focusing on the person where you are now, how many know that it's easy to become negative? Because when you focus on where you're at now, all you see is the negative stuff that they're not doing. All you see is that joker don't clean up after himself. All you see is that he done put on 10 or 15 pounds, and I don't like that joke anymore. He done let himself go. But Jesus says, you can't focus on where you're at now. You got to look back to when you first were in love. Listen, some of you, your relationship is never going to get any better as long as you keep looking at where he is now. You got to look back because, see, as long as you focus on where it's at now, you can't see any light for it to get better. See? That joker that you upset with now is the same joker that you used to love before you got into all this mess. But you can't see it now. See, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, you got to change the way how you think. Notice what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there is any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, what? And the peace of, is there another one, brothers? And the, there it is. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be what? Listen, you got to change the way how you think about the person in order for the relationship to get better. So watch this. The first thing God says do is reflect back on when you first fell in love in the first place. So here's the first challenge that I have for you this week. I want you to spend some time by yourself thinking about how have you changed in the relationship. Listen, don't think about how the other person has changed. You get by yourself and figure out what things did I used to do when we first fell in love that I'm not doing anymore. What things did I used to do? How was I loving? What were the things that I used to do that I've stopped doing because I started loving something else? Now, after you do that, the second thing that Jesus says do, he says is repent. Look at your neighbor and say repent. You need to repent. You may say, what is it that I'm repenting for? Listen, you're repenting for all of the ways that you have changed. You're repenting from all of the things that you used to do that now that you've stopped and you started doing something else. You want something that I found out in relationships, and I don't know if you've seen this. See, don't gloss over the need to repent. I found out in a lot of our relationships, how many of you know that it's easy to just gloss over it and act like it didn't happen? You're in that relationship, things have been done and said, particularly after you get comfortable with somebody, and you just tend to let it go, gloss up over and act like it never happened. But can I tell you something? That problem has never been resolved. It's like a seed that's planted in soil, and eventually it's going to grow back up again, and it's going to cause another problem. You have to go back and first think about what it is that you've done, and then you have to repent for everything that you've done to your spouse or significant other of where you stopped on that thing. Now, let me tell you, some of this, listen, when I say repent, let me explain what I mean. Because some people think repent is just means saying I'm sorry. Mm-mm.
Listen, repentance requires at least three things. Listen, some of us, you may do one, but you're not doing all of them. Repentance first requires a recognition of what I've done wrong. How many of you like it when someone comes to you and says, I'm sorry, and you say, sorry for what? I don't know, just whatever you think that I've done. No. So listen, the first thing Jesus says is you have to spend time reflecting on how you've changed, what you've done wrong, what you've stopped doing, and then once you do that, you need to go and repent. When he says repent, he means to go to that person and acknowledge for every wrong thing that you've done. Let me give you an example of what I had to do. I had to go to my wife and tell her, baby, I'm sorry for making my job a bigger priority than you. I'm sorry for when we had a date night that was scheduled and I decided to work on my work more so than you. I'm sorry for hanging out with the guys more than you. I'm sorry for giving compliments to everybody else except for you. I'm sorry for all of these things because, listen, if you don't do that, the relationship can't grow. If you don't acknowledge the things that are broken, you can't move on with them. Listen, so the first thing is you have to recognize the wrong that you've done. Number two, you have to acknowledge it. But then, gosh darn, number three, you have to turn from the things that you're doing that's wrong. Can I tell you something? Repentance, many times for many of us, is not genuine because even if you do the first, but you do the second, if you don't do the third, you ain't done nothing. Watch this. And some of us, in our relationships, we'll say that I'm sorry for doing stuff, but then go right back and do the same gosh darn thing again. How many know that if you're really sorry about something, you change your direction and stop doing it? If you're sorry for hitting her, and I say I'm sorry, but I keep on doing it, am I really sorry? Watch this. And in some of our relationships, if you say that I'm sorry for not complimenting or praising you, but then you never do it, are you really sorry? Have you really repented? If you say that I'm sorry for not putting you first, but then you keep putting everything first, so that means you have to set up some boundaries. You have to change some things in your life in order to demonstrate what you mean and what you're apologizing for. You hear me? So the first thing is to acknowledge, go back, look at the ways that you've changed in the relationship. Number two, you have to repent for the things that you've done. But then number three, Jesus says, go back and do the first things. Do you see that? So he says, not only must you acknowledge what you've done and repent, but then he says, go back and do the things that you did at the first. And that's a challenge that I want to give to you this week. Listen. We've been in this challenge of loving people and demonstrating love to everyone each month. We have the cards, random acts of love. This week, while you're doing that to everybody else, I want you to focus on doing random acts of love, if you have one, to your significant other. If you don't have one, to just give random acts of love to someone else. But this week, I want you to go back and think about doing all of the things that you used to do when you first got engaged or married or when you first started in your relationship. So what am I saying? I want you to schedule some time to have a date night. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you something? See, particularly some of you who've gotten comfortable in your relationships. See, I always find it amazing. Do you remember when you talk to people, they say, when I was dating whoever it was, everything was so good. The passion was there. We loved each other. We used to call each other. We used to take walks together. We used to talk on the phone all together. And we used to do all of this stuff. And I said, how was things then? They said, Pastor, everything was good there. And then I said, well, why? What happened? They said, well, we stopped. I said, well, why did you stop? If everything was going so good when you were in the dating phase, why did you stop dating? Listen, and some of you have gotten so comfortable in your relationship, it's become more of a routine, and there ain't no spontaneity in it. There's nothing that makes me jump and shout when I see you anymore. See, when I was dating my wife, she never knew what I was going to do. I just showed up on the job. I might have had flowers one day. I showed up in a tank top. She didn't know what to do when I had the tank top on. She saw the muscles and the bulge. She didn't know what to do.
Man, I don't know if y'all laughing at me or if you laughing with me. Frazier, what y'all doing? Listen. What am I saying? Listen. Go back and do what you used to do. Don't get married and get in a relationship and get stale. Don't take the person for granted. If you used to call just to say hello, don't make every time you talk a problem. How many like it whenever somebody call you, they got a problem? I remember when I was talking to my wife, I used to just call her for no reason out of the day. Babe, I only got just a few minutes, but I just called to say I was thinking about you. Oh, honey, that's so sweet. Thank you for calling me. Listen, and it blew her mind. I found out a principle that will change everything in your relationship. I didn't know it early on, but I found out the longer I was in it. And here it is. Listen, your significant other, spouse, whatever it is, wherever your relationship is, will almost do anything you want them to do. And I say almost because some of y'all in here nasty and I don't know what's going on in your mind. But I have found out they almost do anything. But listen, I found out, hear what I'm saying. I found out that they will almost do anything you ask them to do if you love them. I have found out that my wife will do darn near almost anything I ask her to do as long as I'm loving her. If I'm putting her first, if she feels like she's my ace, if she feels like she comes before anything I am, I don't have, listen, when I found this out, I found out that things I used to have to nag her about, she do naturally. Things that I used to have to stay on her about or things that she used to fight me on, I don't have to fight with her anymore. You know why? Because when a woman or a man feels love, they'll give you whatever it is that you want. And the problem is you did that when you were dating, but now that you've been together for a long time, you've gotten into a routine to where you just know that that's what it's supposed to be. And all the spontaneity in your relationship is gone. The kids have come in and taken over. Life revolves around the children. You need to schedule a date night. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to schedule a date night. Some of y'all are old enough to where you don't even have any children, so you ain't got no excuse. You know what I do? I make time. And some of you know because I done called on you. I'll drop my kids up over to your house at any time to make sure that I'm loving on her. Can I tell you something? A big problem is, see, you don't recognize what you have until somebody else wants it. It's amazing how many men won't give their wives a compliment until another man does it. Listen, I'm one of them. You know, my wife speaks all over the country now. And you notice one thing that I found out, that the more popular you become, the more people try to get at you. Some of y'all read on Facebook with my wife the other day when she put on there with my son. They off traveling. And I told my son, I said, TJ, if anybody get too close to your mama, step up and say, get off of my mama. Did y'all read that? I'm training TJ them up in advance. If I'm not there, if anybody get too close to your mama, go ahead and tell them to back on up. Why? Because sometimes we don't congratulate and spend time loving each other enough. Listen, and as we get to Valentine, hear what I'm saying. You can buy all the gifts you want. You can buy all of that. But more importantly than the gifts, what the person really wants to do is just be loved. Listen, make some time to go on a date night. Listen. Make some time to just call out the day and just say, hey, baby, how you doing? Now, I know that your spy, if you ain't done it in a while, they're going to be like, Bobby, what you want?
What you listen, I understand that's going to happen, but listen, you got to start to change the atmosphere in your relationship. The reason why she may be acting the way how she acting is because you've changed. I've met so many men who said, my wife has let herself go. And one of the first questions I asked is, are you still doing the same things that you was doing when you was dating her? If you're not, then there's no excuse to where she's going. If you was taking care of business the way you were when you was dating, maybe she would still be in the gym. The amen's not going down. I would have thought some of the ladies would have said amen. Go back and do the things that you used to do. Notice what Jesus says in the last part of that verse. He says, if you don't, I will come and take the candlestick or the lampstand from you. What is he saying? I'm going to come and take my presence from you. Listen, and some of you, if you don't make a change in your relationship right now, you are on the verge of one of them jokers leaving. See, I know it. Y'all come in here and you smile and you look good in front of everybody. But see, I get the calls when we leave. And I'm telling you, some of the problems that you have is that you have forgot to love that person as your first. And you need to go back and do that. Amen. So this week, as you're loving on everybody else, make sure you spend some time loving on your spouse, loving on your significant other. Find them, call them out the blue, tell them how much you love them. Just blow their mind and give them something that you ain't gave in a long time. Listen, take your wife to the spa. What, Pastor? Take her to the spa. How many know that you only live once? And if you really love a person, invest in them and let them know how much you do. Amen. So work on that this week. Amen. Love on your spouse as you love it on everybody else. Take some time to love on them and make sure they know. Amen. Let us bow heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've done the best that I can this morning. I pray that something said was an encouragement.